you. The weekend is almost here. Our first Friday art segment is tomorrow. We'll get a jump on that by spending the rest of this hour talking about musical acts making the scene around the region. Josh Gross has been here before. This is a semi-regular thing now. He's the music editor at the Rogue Valley Messenger. We first met him when he came to talk about his book, The Funeral Papers, which I'm sure is still on sale at a bookstand near you.
The post office actually lost most of the shipment in the mail. So that most of the run. So we're sort of out of stock at the moment, but it's going to be real stacked up real soon in time, hopefully, for the Oregon Book Award nominations. So we're hoping for that. So
okay, we'll look forward to that. So, it looks like you got five different bands to talk about here, starting with the Helio Sequence.
Oh, Helio Sequence, I love these guys.
Is there any band you don't like?
Most bands I don't like.
Really? Okay.
That's the thing. I think it's like a pendulum. You can only love proportional to the amount that you can hate. But I'm not going to bring you that stuff, man.
Just strong feelings on either
end.
I just have
strong feelings on music, but I'm not going to waste your time with, the Nickelbacks of the world.
Sorry, what happened to them? They were so popular. And then also,
what happened
to them?
They made $1 billion and ruined my life by still being on the radio.
Okay. Well, we'll deal with Nickelback in a different segment. So let's hear some of the Helio Sequence.
Yes, please.
Layered sound there from Helio Sequence. This kind of reminds me of the Shoegazer days almost.
Yeah, well, these guys, this is actually a two-piece.
Really?
These guys, they're magnificent because they managed to get so much sound out of just two players. They use a lot of different effects and some sort of computer layering and stuff, and a lot of like really practiced techniques. They used to use a lot of synthesizers, that was the first thing that really drew me into their sound was this album they had called Young Effectuals. When the first time I heard it, I was like, this sounds like it is from Mars. I've never heard anything like it. It's so crazy. And they've sort of smoothed it out a little bit over subsequent albums, but it's great. And their drummer makes some of the best drummer faces I've ever seen. He's got these just big, like, And he also splits his time. He was playing in Modest Mouse, which is a very big band for a while. These guys are out of Portland. They're coming through the area. They're going to be playing Brick Room in Ashland tomorrow night for First Friday, which is a big get for them. I talked to the booker there about it, and they are like just over the moon that they're even bothering to come here, so that's a big one. They're going to be at Crow's Feet Common up in Bend, if you're a little more in the center of the state, on Saturday. And then on the 11th, they're going to be at Harlow's in Sacramento, if you're in Northern California and want to head south to get that. So this is going to be a good show.
These are fairly common routings, it seems like. When you get a hit on the West Coast, you're going to kind of ping-pong around a bit, it seems like, if you're a band, and kind of play Eugene one night and then maybe down in Eureka two nights later and then Bend after that.
Well, you know the saying, in Amsterdam, all roads lead to the Red Light District. Here it's just you can't get anywhere without taking I-5, so
right.
If you're on I-5, it's the parade route, you know. It's a good street. It's kind of like the main street of the West Coast.
If you're
on wet I-5, you're likely to get hit. And it's great to see that more bands are starting to stop here in Southern Oregon, because for so long they were like, that's a good place to gas up, and that's about it. So it's great to see that the more of them are stopping.
It bears some success for JPR as well, because I know Eric Thiel, our music director on the Rhythm and News Service, gets a lot of guests into this studio to play their music, because they're playing gigs here, but because they're passing through on the way to someplace else.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a common thing. So where are you playing tonight? Oh, yeah, in the San Francisco, not here, you know. Uh-huh. So it's nice to see them more stopping, and I'm so excited about it. Like, there's been a great bunch that have been coming through Brick Room and some of these other new venues that are popping up. And a lot of groups that, you know, it's always been like, man, I wish they'd come here. And then 2 weeks later, look at that, they are. Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about Mando Man before we hear them.
Mando Man, this guy. So he's from Japan. He's flying in special for a string of gigs. So this is like see this guy before he goes home. I actually don't think he speaks English. So this is a real big opportunity.
Okay, let's hear some Mando Man. Now, I noticed that there's a particular venue that takes in the kind of stuff that Mando Man and some other people do as well.
Actually, Jeffrey, I'm going to disagree with you on this. Hold on. I'm going to ask you why. What do you think that guy's playing right there? Like, what do you think's making this sound?
Sounds like a little harp in there, actually.
There's a mandolin.
Is it really?
That's why he's called Mando Man. So This is a one man playing one mandolin with a couple of effects pedals and some loopers. He just does real experimental avant-garde mandolin. And one thing about Southern Oregon is we love our mandolins. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're really available anywhere. But, yeah, he is going to be playing at Oberon's in Ashland on the 11th. But if you're up a little further north, the reason he is flying in from Japan is to take part in the Northwest Loop Fest, which is going to be happening in Portland this Saturday at Musicians Local 99.
That was the venue I was talking about. Yeah, the Loop Fest. So a lot of people who use looping.
Yeah, it's exclusively loopers. I'm going to be traveling up there to go see that, actually, because there's some really great acts from all over the regional. And the guy who puts it on, Noah Peterson, is a very experimental saxophone player. He's going to be on tour with Mando Man also, and he's been traveling around the country. He puts on loop fests in Denver, in Portland, in Austin, kind of all over the country. And this is the big one for the sort of Northwest region. It's going to be like 10, 12 acts, I think, running from like 4 until about 10 p.m., and then they're traveling down here on their way to the next one, Noah Peterson and Mando Man. So that's going to be a really interesting night.
I don't want to leave out the Willamette Valley folks, too, because it looks like Mando Man's also going to be playing in Springfield.
Yeah, a place called McKenzie Living. I don't know anything about it. I just saw that it was on their tour schedule, so I threw that down. Those guys, since they're sort of small acts, they do some sort of odds, you know, like restaurants and things. So someone knows what McKenzie Living is and wants to call in and let us know, I'd be glad to hear about it. But yeah.
Josh Gross, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk about musical acts coming to the region. 800-838-3760 if you want to add to the pile. jx@jeffnet.org. Dirty Cello is our next one. Let's hear some from them.
That's really come out good, man. Make the blues really come out good. Make the rock really come out good. So, like, we're going to get our own moves together, you know.
Okay, I know that song anywhere. Purple Haze.
Yeah, it's kind of distinctive.
Cello, yeah. Well, it seems like if you have cello in your name, you need to play some cello here.
It would be a misnomer if you came up there and then just played the accordion, I suppose.
So these guys are going to be playing out of doors, it looks like, at the Green Show next week on the Bricks in Ashland.
Yeah, they're doing the Green Show on the 14th, and then the next day they're going to be playing a second show at Oberon's. And this is they've actually got a full piece, five-piece band. It's all centered around one cello player. And it's all just sort of like taking the cello out of the sort of traditional chamber music and putting it into new situations. And they've been pretty successful at it. There's a lot of like cello groups doing that right now. I think the cello is having a renaissance. If you've ever had a chance to see the Portland Cello Project or any of these other groups, they're really just pushing it to new levels. I love this group called Apocalyptica that made their name by doing Metallica covers on the cello, which is just so good. One of the things that's really cool about these guys is that they just put out their most recent album. I can't remember exactly how recent it is. They recorded it by every time they would go on tour, they would trade live performances for Airbnb stays. Uh-huh. And then wherever they were at, they would then write and record a new song about the place that they had stayed. And so they have this new album that's kind of about the tour that they were on as they were recording it, which is a pretty interesting way to go about recording an album.
So about the town they're in or about the B&B they stayed in?
The Airbnbs, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's just kind of, you know, I guess you call it a concept album, Road Warriors or something like that. But I think that's super cool. And it's also great that people have found these, you know, innovative ways to kind of go out and make their living or make their way in the world through doing weird cello music, which I think is great.
I am impressed with the versatility of the cello. I know that Eric had a looper in here a couple of years ago who would play tracks on the cello. And then, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff you can do with it.
Metallica covers, I'll tell you.
Okay, so that's Dirty Cello. Let us re-cue and listen to a little bit of Digisaurus now.
Digisaurus, these guys are awesome.
Digisaurus, some interesting stuff there. You know, you've been covering music for a long time now. When did you finally get to the point where you stopped saying, well, they remind me of blank? It seems like
never.
I always start, really?
Never. I mean, everything is built on something. I mean, we stand on the shoulders of giants even when you're playing the guitar as, you know, riding someone else's, like, piggyback, I guess. Yeah, I mean, everything comes a little bit from everywhere, and I can hear different influences in there, but one of the things I like about these guys is they're specifically branded themselves as a future pop band. Like, they really, like, they're clearly bringing influence from, I don't know, groups like Rat-A-Tat or even New Order, you know, just bringing back that sort of, like, electronic rock hybrid and, you know, making it, like, a pop sound, not exclusively dance, but they're trying to do something new rather than going, just let's play the hits, and I like that. You know, I tend to be drawn to those sorts of groups. And I think these guys have a really cool sort of hybrid sound. They're from Ohio, and this is actually their first tour. They're kind of on a perpetual tour right now. They came through the region about a month or 6 weeks ago, and they're coming back. They're going to be playing at Johnny B's on November 2nd in Medford, and then on November 3rd, they're going to be at the Wandering Goat in Eugene. And that will be their second loop through the area. But they've been out on tour for, I think, 3 or 4 months at this time. They're kind of just living on the road. So I want to give props to them. They're just really going for it.
Does music change faster now because of social media and the fact that people can get their sound out there a lot faster than they used to? It's not like you have to wait for MTV, for example, as you did, you know, 25 years ago.
In some ways, I mean, you can certainly, like, what's happening more is that it's just becoming more fractured into smaller and smaller subgenres. So it's not necessarily that it changes faster. It's that it's sort of like everyone finds their little gang of people that before you had to have a large group of people in order to, like, make a sound get out there because you would have to go on broadcast or something like that. Now with the internet, you can find an audience of 200 people, but those 200 people might be spread all over the world. So, you know, you get these, like, sort of micro niches of micro niches of micro niches of micro niches. I mean, there was a very famous rock critic, Lester Bangs, who said that, you know, like, Elvis was the last time, or like, it was like Elvis was the last time we were all unified on anything. And upon that, it just all started to, like, kind of come apart. When I saw Bruce Springsteen do his speech at South by Southwest, that was mostly what he talked about. He was like, there's 10,000 bands here playing here tonight, and I don't know what most of them are doing.
Right.
What is Nintendo Core? And I was like, Nintendo Core is awesome, but, you know, the boss didn't know what it was. But.
Isn't that interesting? All right, let's hear some of Hungry Skinny coming to the region.
I'm beating up the street tonight. I slept through the natural light, but I'll do it if it feels all right.
Now, Hungry Skinny is a San Francisco band, as I understand.
They are from San Francisco. They are both hungry and skinny.
Uh-huh. Some pretty raucous stuff. It was interesting because I had to crop their picture to get a middle finger out of it. But
I said you and I have very different philosophies on journalism.
Well, I think we're appealing to somewhat different audiences. So tell us about Hungry Skinny. What do you call the stuff they play? I mean, can you even categorize music anymore?
Sure.
Now that you have these niches within niches.
Well, you're just going to use a lot of hyphens. Uh-huh. You know? These guys are kind of pulling from, like, the garage rock sound, you know, like, even this is kind of like a sped up version of what, like, the Trogs were doing with Wild Thing, and it's generally, like, referred to in this sort of garage rock or, like, you know, lo-fi vein. There's a lot of this coming back right now. There's a couple big festivals in Austin and Denver, like Psych Fests, that are kind of pulling from that, like, 13th Floor Elevators, Trogs, Sonics sort of sound, just that kind of, like, you know, little grungy guitars, but basically straight rock and roll, you know, like it was underground for a while, then, you know, punk made it a thing, and then everything kind of got glossy again, and then we have all these different space, and sometimes people just want to go and, like, do some straight, simple rock and roll, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think it's great.
And where's Hungry Skinny going to be playing?
Hungry Skinny is going to be playing at the G Street Bar and Grill in Grants Pass on November 2nd. If you're not in Grants Pass, they got some other gigs in the area. They're going to be October 27th, they'll be at the Hi-Fi Music Hall in Eugene, and October 1st, they'll be at the Volcanic Pub in Bend. And if you're in Northern California, it'll be November 4th at the Torch Club in Sacramento.
So all these bands get around, that is for sure.
Well, it's the parade route, man.
All right, Josh Gross, always good to have you here from the Rogue Valley Messenger, where he's the music editor. Good, thanks for delivering information about these bands.
No problem.